are two dietitian mamas with master's degrees in nutrition, but not motherhood.
Join us on our journey raising two kids and working hard to keep our family and ourselves healthy and well.
Whether you're in your car or slumped on the couch with a glass of wine, welcome to the Dietitian's Dish podcast.
All right. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. I apologize for my voice. I am not 100% well with my sick little boogery children running around all the time. But so I've got this, cold coming on. It sounds really good. Sorry.
That's really funny that you said boogery, because rather than snotty, and I don't know if that's actually the case, but my kids, like they have transitioned from snot over the past year to boogers. Like, I don't remember boogers as much last year. Last year it was all snot. Now it's like every 5 minutes, and this is going to sound disgusting, but you know, complete honesty here. Paige has a booger that she's picked out of her nose that she's giving to me. I don't know what it, like, I kind of miss the snot. I wish it was snot, because the boogers are disgusting. So it's really funny that you said that, because that's exactly how it is. My kids are also.
I get woken out of a dead sleep with Piper going, "Mama, Mama, boogers, boogers!" Run in there. She doesn't even know how to blow her nose, and it's not boogers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's
So you guys call snot boogers. It is. It is the season. My kids have a cough now, and I haven't gotten it yet. Knock on wood. But, and it's also the morning, so I understand the voice. I'm drinking my coffee. I'm working on it. I was actually up about a half hour earlier than normal today, so I think that kind of helped. And because Paige was screaming and Nick somehow didn't hear. I'm not sure how that happened, but so I got up.
That's called selective listening.
Yeah.
Don't let him fool.
They're so good at that, aren't they? Gosh. All right. So today we're going to talk about a topic that, I'm not going to lie, when I hear about it on podcasts or websites, I'm like, I kind of cringe. I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. The New Year resolution post, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not sure about you, Nicole. I'm not really a big New Year's resolution person. I tend to come up with goals for the new year, and they're not necessarily new goals. I mean, if I'm going to make a goal for myself, I'm not going to say I'm going to start January 1st. If I have a goal that I want to achieve, I'm going to start it as early as possible. So when we go through these three goals, I like goals better than New Year's resolutions for that very reason. A lot of them are things I've already started, but I'm just really going to maybe kick it into high gear starting January 1st, I guess. What about you?
Yeah, I kind of cringe at it too, but my spin has always been, you know, if you find an area of opportunity, let's say, in your life, do it. You know, if January is kind of the time that brings that front and center to your focus, you know, it would be nice to include that the other 11 months out of the year, but I think it's a nice time to just touch base with where you're at, where you want to be, and kind of the steps to get from A to B. So, you know, I've always kind of been a fan of it. I think it's just a nice time. I think there's just a lot of positive momentum surrounding January and people who are just wanting to make improvements, whatever that be. Yeah. I think people typically think of, oh, weight loss and that type of thing. And we know that gym numbers skyrocket during that time.
It annoys me so much.
I know. I'm like, get off my treadmill.
Yeah, that is mine. Don't you know? You've never been here before. Gosh.
Yeah, poser. We won't see you next month. I'm totally kidding. I think I've always enjoyed the positive spin on it, but I hope today, you know, I think you and I have some goals beyond kind of the physical, and I'm excited to talk about that too.
Yeah, agreed. So, you know, this podcast is not just focused on healthy eating and physical activity and all that stuff that dietitians like to talk about. It's really, our goal is to focus more on wellness. So, you know, healthy is the absence of disease or health, whereas wellness kind of encompasses so many other things. So if you type in the 8 dimensions of wellness on Google, you'll see so many different charts and pictures and lovely things. I found a great one that kind of went through the 8 dimensions. And here's what they include. So emotional wellness, which is coping effectively with life and creating satisfying relationships, which I think is so important. It's probably one of my favorite dimensions: financial, satisfaction with current and future financial situations; social, developing a sense of connection, belonging, and a well-developed support system. Another one I think is very important. Spiritual, which is expanding our sense of purpose and meaning in life. Occupational, personal satisfaction and enrichment derived from one's work. Physical, which is recognizing the need for physical activity, diet, sleep, and nutrition, which is obviously the one that we as dietitians focus the most on, at least with our clients. Intellectual, recognizing creative abilities and finding ways to expand knowledge and skills. And then lastly, environmental, which is good health by occupying pleasant, stimulating environments that support well-being. So what we're going to do now is just kind of go through each of us. We're going to go through we've picked three wellness goals for the new year that we're going to kind of talk about and focus on. And then this is kind of great for me because I feel like just having this podcast will kind of keep me motivated. So what we should do is next year come back to this and kind of see where we're at with regards to our wellness goals. And obviously, as listeners, if you want to come up with your own wellness goals as well and kind of follow along with us, we encourage you to do that. Or maybe you just think it's completely ridiculous to come up with any type of goal for the new year. I think for me, though, it's kind of nice because, and Nick too, we both have January birthdays. So it's not just a new calendar year. It's really a new year in my life as well. So that kind of works out well that it coincides with the new year. So I definitely come up with a goal every year, if not two, just not a New Year's resolution. I don't know why. That just really bothers me. Okay.
Well, I'm glad we're putting it on a podcast because right now mine are written on the back of a paper plate.
Hey,
there's a really, really good chance that paper plate is going to be displaced between now and tomorrow. So, you know, by next year, I'll have the podcast to listen to.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be perfect.
True mom mode. I'm like, what's around? What can I write on?
Why didn't you write on the Google sheet? You know, you could do that.
You know, that's way too obvious.
It's way too easy. Too much technology.
You know, I'm one of those people, even with being 9.5 years into blogging, I still love paper. That could be one of my goals. But anyway, I am a little too wed to paper. But
no, I'm the same way. At least with my daily planner, like I would never use an online planner or anything. I have to write it down because I have to physically cross things out. I get some sort of like giddy high on that. I'm like, oh yes, I get to cross that out. I cannot use a little, you know, technology pen or whatever those things are called to cross something out. No, 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 no. It needs to be like ink on a piece of paper. So I totally get you. Do you want to go first, Nicole?
Sure. So I'll start with kind of my, I don't want to say it's an outlandish goal, but it might be, which I'm okay with for the record. But so I think it falls under, I think it could fall under either occupational or intellectual. And it is this crazy idea, or maybe not so crazy, that I am interested in pursuing a doctorate.
Woo, that is crazy, but I love it.
I know.
Continue.
So the past almost 18 months, it'll be 18 months in February, I am in a leadership cohort through our organization at work. And it has been, it's through our organizational development kind of team. And it kind of starts with Myers-Briggs and personality tests. And there's a 360 eval. So you are basically rated and shown kind of your strengths and your opportunities from your peers, your leaders, and your direct reports. And there's quite a few areas for providing comments. And some people in my leadership cohort were literally in tears after reading those. And it was a really impactful way to find out a little bit more about yourself in the workplace. And so, you know, that was kind of the first step. And you're doing it's called an action learning project through the entire 18 months. And so that is then presented to the senior leadership team. And so it's really, there's classroom time every month. It's 4 hours every month. And then each quarter, so there's 5 or 6 quarters, is devoted to like classwork. I mean, you're reading books and writing papers and doing various projects, and it's pretty intense. And I have carved out some time at work to actually work on that, but it's kind of stimulated this really nerdy side in me to just, yeah. What I found out is I started my life as a dietitian. And I love that work. But I feel like I've found more of my calling in leadership. And I don't mean that as a way of saying that I want to best support nutrition, wellness, health, all of those things, taking us into the future. So
yes, I feel totally like, agree with you. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm kind of out of the trenches a little bit, but I'm seeing kind of that's my calling. So my bachelor's is in dietetics, and then my master's is in nutrition and wellness, which is pretty clinical. So I would be looking at a doctorate, and I would do it online, a doctorate in probably healthcare administration.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love it. I think that's awesome.
It like raises my heart rate just to say that. But so I'm totally just dancing with this idea. I think over the next year, my goal would not be to actually enroll. Mm-hmm. It would be to convince my husband that this is a financial investment worth making, a time investment worth making, and figuring out if this is actually something that, you know, has any type of return on an investment and kind of what my career path may look like with or without a doctorate. So it's not a committing to, it's a figuring out over the next year.
Okay.
So
we're not going to hold you to coming back on this podcast next year with your PhD. That's cool. Not that you would anyway. It probably takes 2 or 3 years, especially, I don't know if you would do it full time.
No, it takes like at least 5.
Oh, geez. That's right. 5 years. I keep forgetting that.
5 years.
You're right.
And then you have up to 10 to finish it.
Oh my gosh. That is insane. Oh, I've looked into it too. I'm not going to lie.
This is no small decision.
No.
You know, I mean, it's the financial, it's time, it's, yeah. So.
Well, good for you.
I'm crazy. I know. So that's one of my goals, is to figure out my journey there. My second goal, because it just, I have opportunities to improve my physical wellness. And so one of those, which also directly impacts my entire family, fortunately, I really want to get more creative with fruits and vegetables in our life.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious that you said that, because I feel like you do a really good job. You should see, I mean, and we'll talk about this on future podcasts, but I mean, the things that you make, keep going.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, we do. Okay. And this is going to sound really bad too, but I think sometimes as moms, parents, caregivers, we are so focused on, did my kid eat this? Are they getting what they need? That I'm so exhausted half the time. Instead of grabbing grapes or something like that at night, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to grab a graham cracker with no nutritional value. So I think it's one of those things where I just need to, why am I not giving myself that concentrated effort?
Okay. Okay.
And more I think I posted on Instagram like a week ago, I made banana sushi in the morning, which is a whole wheat tortilla slathered with peanut butter with a banana rolled in it. And then I cut it up into little discs, and the kids love it.
Yes.
But why can't I eat that for breakfast?
So this is more okay for you, because I have a similar goal, but it kind of goes back to my kids. I mean, it sounds like it's also for your kids you're talking about, but specifically for you, you feed your kids some creative things, but why can't you eat them type thing with fruits and vegetables?
I mean, it's multifaceted. So here's another example. Okay. We eat a ton of steamed broccoli, which is great. I love steamed broccoli. They love steamed broccoli. Everyone's kind of happy with that.
Yes.
But you can't do that every night.
Yes.
So why can't I take zucchini sticks and like quarter them and do a little egg wash and a little dusting of, you know, whatever, breadcrumbs, and bake them and serve them with marinara?
Because steamed broccoli is a little so much easier. But you're right. No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Just getting a little bit more creative. So,
okay.
Yeah. Especially in the snack arena, I would say, or for fruits, you know, throw everything in a blender and call it good.
Yeah. You do that too, though. You do smoothies, I think.
I do.
Yeah. I think that's.
And I'll add vegetables, but yeah. Yeah, we could be better.
Okay.
Okay. Right. My third goal. I know that's not a very smart goal.
It's not very specific, Nicole.
Measurable. Yeah. I know.
You can come up with some of those later. We'll specify later on our own.
I feel like my feet are held to the fire here. No, I'm just kidding. This is good. We've got a couple weeks before the new year. So.
Yeah, exactly. You can. Yeah.
My third goal, which is probably my best goal, and is certainly. If I can make it work, it's going to definitely bring the most amount of peace and added wellness to my life, which is an emotional goal.
Okay,
I'm just going to say it. I am a yeller. Huh? I yell at my kids when I get upset. Mm-hmm. And they're 2 and 4, and I'm yelling at them, like, and they get this, like, deer in the headlights, like, oh my gosh, here she goes, like, it is a good, and they're looking at each other, just like bracing for the blow. And I hate that about myself. And I've noticed that it's often my lack of planning or inability to be on time that translates into this chaos. And so I think my very specific goal is to improve our morning routine and our schedule just to allow even 5 to 10 minutes more time so that I can be a less stressed parent in the morning, get them to school on time, daycare, whatever, get myself there on time, and we're all just a little bit happier. And it does not result in screaming or tears or any of those things on a daily basis.
Okay. It's funny. I have a goal that's very similar, so I'm with you.
Oh my gosh. I would say 2 mornings a week, if I were being honest, maybe 1. Because I have to, this is a Monday through Thursday goal for us because I do work from home on Fridays. I would say at least 1 morning a week, I raise my voice and or someone ends up in tears and I end up apologizing. Then I slow everything down because I realized I just lost it. And I cannot, it's like going to bed at night mad at your husband. Like you can't do it. You have to like kiss and make up before bed. Like I have to stop everything and say, I'm sorry, mommy was upset and I shouldn't be. Do you forgive me? And can we have a kiss? And then we have like a little moment and they have still this like feared look on their face. Like, is she for real or is she just duping me?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So
don't worry, Nicole.
I try to make nice. Oh my God. Yeah. But I'm there way too much.
Okay.
It shouldn't be. If we need to be out of the house, it's set at 8 o'clock, no later than 8 o'clock. I need to have them out of bed before 7:30 or 7:35.
Right.
Even if their little hearts desire more sleep, we'll have to scoot back to bedtime.
Right. Exactly.
So anyway.
So.
Or scoot up the bedtime is what I meant. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. They need to go to bed earlier. I will not say that I yell often at my kids, but here is why. It's because I have learned that since Paige is so sensitive and picks up on literally everything I do, she mocks me in that she will scream at the top of her lungs at her brother, like, no, Cameron, you can't do that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she sounds like me. I mean, she is repeating how I am treating her. So because of that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot have a child who screams and yells like that, like in public or at school or at her friends. She'll do it to her friends too. And I started noticing that actually about this year. And because of that, I have made I've encouraged myself to lay low on the screaming because I also was screaming way too much, like just getting to the point where my emotions just bubbled over. And I am trying to find this. There's another podcast that I listen to. It's called What Fresh Hell. And it's two moms who have older kids. Well, one of them has older kids. The other one has kids who are still older than our kids, but probably like, I think 8, 9, and 10 or something like that. It's crazy. Anyway, it's a really great podcast. They just did an episode on how to prevent the bubbling over of emotions of the mom or dad and kind of simmer down right before you're about to go crazy and start screaming at your kids because it never gets you anywhere. It was a really good episode. And for some reason, I can't figure out which episode it was. If I find it, we can put it in our show notes. I'll make a note of that. I'll make a note of just the podcast in general because it's a pretty good one and it's really funny. They're really funny women. So good. I think those are great goals and we're going to follow up with you on that next year. and see how you're doing. See how you're doing.
Well, that's good. That's nobody else. Nobody's following up in December. It's all over by February. So that's good.
I know. Better not be. I'm going to ask Shay if she's yelling at you or if you're yelling at her or if she's yelling at you. And that was another thing. Paige started yelling at me too. And I'm going to put you in timeout. Does Shay ever do that?
Not to me, but she's really good with it, playing independently. And I will hear her yelling at her little babies like, I told you not to do that. I'm like, O-S-H-I-T. Like, what is going on?
Oh my gosh. So, yeah. No, I've totally, yes, that's Paige for sure. But it's more on a true level where those are real people. Oh boy. Okay. So I'll dive into mine. I've got three.
I'm curious. I can't wait to hear these.
Get excited. So one of them is financial. The other one's emotional. And then the other one is physical-ish. So I think that they kind of overlap in some ways. So my first one is financial, and I think this is the most important. So I resolve, my goal, I'm going to make it a SMART goal, is to be 100%. So we went into this year in debt. I mean, everyone has some debt. I get it. But we've had some of the same debt for like probably the past 3 years that we just haven't paid off. Now granted, it's 0% interest type debt. But still, it is driving me insane. I'm like, why do we keep going into each year with this carrying this same debt? Because soon we're going to have to add on more debt. Like we're going to need a new AC and furnace pretty soon, which is going to be more debt. So my goal for 2020, by the end of 2019, right when we go into 2020, is to not have any more of this debt that we've been carrying with us for the past 3 years. And I've already gone through all the numbers. I've figured it all out. I've crunched the numbers on my Excel spreadsheet. That's not true. And there is a way that we're going to be able to do this, and it's going to happen. And this year has been really tough in a lot of ways because Nick got a new job. And he's definitely not making as much as he did before, which has been a little bit difficult, but also he's 100% commission based, which is not something that we're used to. Mm. So we just got to get better with our money. And
now is Nick aware of this goal and is he on board?
Good question. Yes, 100%. We talk about it a lot. We are very much on the same page. I still think that we can both work on, I'm so bad. I'm kind of a hypocrite. I'll sit down with him and I'll say something like, did we really need to buy that? Like, is that really necessary? But then I'll go and spend $160 on my hair. So bad. But you know what? I'm the woman. I can do that kind of stuff. No, it's not really fair. But we've definitely talked about this. We both have the same goals. We know what we need to do. And we just got to do it. And this is one of those instances where or one of those examples where it's a goal that we have, that I have and he has for 2019, but we've already started. Like, I'm not going to like go out and spend a bunch of money now and then say, okay, I'm going to start January 1st to do better with my money. No, we've already started this, but I do have a specific goal that starting in 2020, we will not have any more of this debt that we've carried with us for the past 3 years. I think what's going to help with that though, is that my car will finally be paid off, which is huge. And I'm paying like close to $400 a month, and it's hard. You understand, we've got two kids in daycare, which is like paying two mortgages. Our mortgage went up $150 a month this year because of new renovations they're going to do in our area. They're basically tearing down like three schools and rebuilding them, which is great, but it certainly had an effect on our mortgage. And not the part that,
yeah, daycare
is huge. So it's just been rough, especially with the transition to jobs, new jobs for him, and we're just getting used to it. But we just got to do better. So that's one. Two is emotional, and it's going back to exactly what you said. Unfortunately for us, I'm finding that the two times during the day, during the week, when we are with our children are the most stressful for us. Like, I actually get into my car and drive to work, and I'm like smiling, not because I love my job, but because I'm driving away from my children, and that is really sad. So I'm starting to realize that first hour and a half of our morning is the most stressful time, or actually it's not. It's actually that 2 hours that I have with my kids after work. So, I don't get home until about 5 o'clock. My kids need to be asleep they need to be in their rooms by 7 o'clock. Paige, I typically like to get her to fall asleep by 8, because they have to be out of the door by 7 the next morning. So it is not fun for me at night when we come home and I have to make dinner and I have to, you know, get Paige her snack, clean the kitchen, brush teeth, get pajamas on, read stories, sing songs. I mean, take a bath, which we don't do every day. And it is just very stressful. So specifically, my specific goal is that I'm going to sit down with Nick and we're going to carve out a better morning and nighttime routine. And this is something else we've already started doing. So for example, Nick typically works until about 6. However, he usually comes home and works until about 6. He's not at an office until 6. So he's here, which is great. But at the same time, he has his computer set up in our kitchen and he's working and talking to clients and customers while there's like mayhem going on in the kitchen, and it stresses me out. Like I see him stressed out on the phone or whatever. He's not really helping. He's just there. Yeah. And so then I feel like I have to like keep, you know, tone them down because maybe sometimes he'll be on the phone and I'm like, you're just making it more stressful for me. So we already talked about that if he's going to come home, which he always does, that he needs to bring his work upstairs. He's got a little office upstairs. So why not use it? So we've already started talking about that. And then we might also switch our schedules a little bit in the morning and at night so that he does the drop off and I do the pickup or vice versa. So we are working on that actively already. And I call that an emotional goal, but I'm not really sure. I put that under emotional, but
currently
I think it is an emotional goal because it's causing us stress.
And pick up in the morning, each day.
What were you going to ask? So no, well, this is weird. So our kids go to 2 different places. So I typically bring Paige in the morning and he brings Cameron, because that's just how it works. And then typically I pick up Cameron and he picks up Paige. It's weird, but I think we should, and here's another thing. And I don't know, and we can probably talk about this on another podcast, but do your kids act differently when both of you are around versus just one of you?
That's a great question. I'll have to pay more attention to that. What I've noticed and what I know research supports is that as soon as mom is around, all hell breaks loose. So my kids may be perfectly behaved for the nanny and for Mark. And then I enter just like both of them look at me like, couldn't you have just stayed away? And it's like, wow. I mean, I get it, but that's not a fun place to be as mom because you obviously want to see your kids, but – at the same time, I mean, it's just like you said, you're driving to work smiling because you're, you know, off duty the next 8 hours. And it's just such a catch 22, but I feel that exact same way. And I know other parents do too. You're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. The second you're away from them, you're like, I miss them. I wonder what they're doing. I love them. Can I see a picture? And then you see them. And within a minute, you're like, just kidding. I want to hand you back. Like, you're crazy. It's like the curse of parenthood. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. So true.
I'm going to pay more attention to that, though. If they're
– yeah. So what would you say? You're exactly right. It's like they pit us against each other. That's what Paige does. Like she knows, she wants to see our reaction when maybe she'll do something that she wasn't supposed to do. And she likes to see how our interaction between the two of us, how that goes. She like feeds off of our emotions and it's weird because she knows, I mean, I'll be honest and we can talk about this on a future podcast. I think I have it written down as a topic, but Nick and I kind of parent a little bit differently. He's a little bit more lenient. He's getting better. I am definitely the one that is a stickler for rules. And if I say you don't get TV, if you do this and she does that, she will not get any TV. I'm that kind of person. And Nick is getting much better at that. But I think that she just likes to see how Nick and I interact when she does something wrong. It's the weirdest thing. I can't even explain it, but she acts differently when the two of us are around, and she definitely acts differently when I'm around. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've walked in the door and Nick has had both kids and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose and Nick will say, oh my gosh, they were so right. good until you walked in the door. And even he's not saying that like in a mean way.
I don't know how you determine this, but so, I'm sure it was statistically significant. We'll go with that. And it was, I'm just kidding. But I think it was from a credible source. Anyway, okay. It said the children are, it was either 600 or 800% worse behaved when their mother is around. How is that even fair? Like, no wonder we have emotional goals. Like, the world is against us as mothers, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is so terrible. But you know what? That then just makes me feel better that I feel like I need more of a break from my children than Nick does. Like, you know, Nick is really good about saying, yeah, go out with your friends or do this, do that. And like, he wants to go out with his friends. And I'm like, no. But that makes me feel a little bit, I mean, I don't say no. I let him, obviously. I'm not his boss. But anyway, we'll get into that in another episode. But that makes me feel better because I feel like my kids do have more of an emotional impact on me. And that is exactly why. They don't do all these, play all these games and whatever they're doing with him. And also they're very clingy, especially Cameron. He's one. And specifically to me, it's like he is a magnet and he's magnetized to me. And let me tell you, especially after breastfeeding him for so long, like I am just ready for a break from you, Cameron. I am sorry, but just detach. He asked for Nick the other day and I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I was holding him and he went to Nick and it was like a party went off in my head. I was like, this is amazing. I mean, I feel so bad saying that, but he actually wanted Nick over me for literally 5 seconds, but it was a very amazing 5 seconds. And I know I'm going to miss this at some point, but right now it's emotionally draining. So anyway, getting back to my goal, we need to find a better way to support each other, Nick and I, with our morning and night routine. And we're going to get to that point sometime in the near future. And we're already working on that. So my last one is physical goal. And this is not in regards to me. I will say, and I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I feel like I am doing pretty well with regards to my physical wellness. I have a great job where I can go and work out in the middle of the day, which not many people are that lucky. So I'm fully aware that I am not the norm when it comes to that. So I can get my workout in, which is great. So that's easy. Done. I know. I'm so sorry. I know. I see your treadmill workouts at 6:30 in the morning. And you know what? If I couldn't work out during the workday, I know I would wake up early and do it. I could never do it at night ever. Like even when I don't end up getting, I mean, and let me go back. I do not always have the time to work out during work. I mean, I would say it's generally around 3 to 4 times a week. Every once in a while, like this coming week, I'll probably go every single day because there's just really not much going on. But generally it's about 3 to 4 times. That's funny. I tend to do spinning classes and they're like spinning and resistance training. I am not a big sweater. Never have been. I also sit directly under the fan specifically so I don't sweat. And then I go right back to work after that. I don't even shower. It's great. And you know what? I know it is very impressive. And I have interns sometimes and they're like, that is disgusting. But you know what? I feel like I would know at this point if I smell, and I really don't think I do.
At lunch, it's just a half hour, and it's anyway, very occasional. Totally but going off it's like a HIIT class that we do, but it's for our patients, so I would say it's like very beginner HIIT. Anyway, I keep baby wipes in my office, and I'll just do like a quick little like once over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. I have some of those wipes too, actually, that I keep. They're not baby wipes. They're like Oil of Olay. They're for your wiping off your face, but I kind of wipe off my body. And I know that sounds disgusting, and I tend to work out at the end of the day. So it's not like I'm doing it in the morning and then I'm like this the rest of the day. It's usually once I'm done with my outside working with students or other coworkers, and I'm just going to be in my office the rest of the day is typically what happens.
I don't
and
think
then
it's gross.
I work out and then I'm in my office for the rest of the day. So who cares? But anyway, so I would thank you. Okay. So physical activity or physical wellness for me, I think I'm doing pretty well. My food, I'm not going to make any changes with that at this point. Really what I'm focusing on this year is physical wellness for my kids. And we're going to talk about this on another episode, but picky eating. And actually, this is a goal for me, but it's with regards to Cameron's eating. So I find myself getting, and I think you mentioned something about this too, getting very overwhelmed when every single night Cameron comes home from his babysitter and does not eat dinner. Like I could probably count on my hand how many times he's actually eaten like a decent dinner. And so I'll make him something and I'll put it in front of him and he'll maybe eat two bites and then go off and play. And it makes my like heart palpitate and I get sweaty and I'm like, oh my gosh, why isn't he eating? And I need this, I guess it's going back to an emotional goal, but I need to handle that better. I need to find ways also to keep him at the table, not getting out of his high chair and running around and playing after he's done with his two bites of dinner. But going back to the physical goal for Cameron, I think like what you said, I need to do a better job of giving him more variety because I do end up giving him a lot of the same things because I know that he'll eat them. So at this point, he will eat like five things. And I'm exaggerating, but it's, you know, peanut butter and jelly, scrambled eggs, turkey hot dogs, broccoli sometimes. He eats those little Dino Dr. Prager frozen spinach potato cakes, which I pretty much give him every single day because at least there's a vegetable in there and they are pretty good. He ate pomegranates the other day, which I was amazed because they're very bitter. So he has the ability to try new. He does try new foods. It's great. He will try just about everything. He ends up typically spitting it out and never trying it again. But, you know, I just have to be patient and know that it will come. Paige went through some stages like this, but she was never even close to this picky. So I'm just not used to it. But yeah, I just got to continue to work on Cameron's physical wellness this year, for sure.
Shay's new thing is, what does it taste like? Dude, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Put it in your mouth and let's go. I mean, here's where I just don't have 4-year-old
you tell me.
Skills. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen, Shay? You don't like it? Oh, and spitting it out. We'll get there. But you and Cameron, you got this. Hey, at least he's willing to try things. That is good.
Thank you. Yeah, he is. I am very impressed. I'll put something in front of him and sometimes it'll be me. I have to take a bite first and he'll see me take a bite and then he'll take a bite.
What about if Paige is eating it?
And that's fine. I'll do that anytime. But
really?
No. That doesn't work. It's really unfortunate. He'll eat grilled cheese too. That's another thing that he eats. And it's funny too. And this is something else that really annoys me. The babysitter will say something like, oh yeah, today he had turkey sandwich and roasted cauliflower and butternut squash. And I'm like, is that what you served or is that really what he ate? Because I would like to see pictures. And then I also believe that because he goes to a babysitter and she's got like, you know, anywhere between 4 and 5 other kids at the same time. And they all sit in a circle together in their high chairs around in her dining room. So they're all eating together. So I can see how he would be more willing to sit in his high chair and sit still because everyone else is doing it and eating because everyone else is doing it. So I do kind of believe that he probably eats better there. And then he comes home and he just gets excited to be home and to be with mommy and Paige because he's obsessed with her and he just wants to play. We're definitely working on it. I've already had a conversation with our babysitter about not giving him any snacks after 3. And I think that's kind of helped a little bit because I think she was giving them like crackers and stuff like that, just empty calories that were not at all helpful and making him a little bit full. He already doesn't eat a lot. I mean, he's like 30 pounds. How much can you really eat? Both of our children. I mean, up until they're Piper teenagers. Does. I mean, they really don't eat that much. But and we had to also remember that.
She kind of breaks the mold. Okay, so here's
something
that...
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
And I don't want to get us off track here, but I have recently pushed back dinner time to at least 6, if not 6:30. And that kind of goes against everything that we've just talked about as far as schedule and bumping things up, but that has made the world of difference in what my children eat for dinner. I don't know.
Okay. And it's funny that you said that. I've actually considered that, because usually what I do is I get dinner ready right away when I get home. So they're eating around 5:30. I've definitely considered pushing it back. So maybe since you've mentioned that and kind of reiterated that idea in my head, maybe I will.
Because it really is a good thing if he's like not eating if he's not hungry. But if you're trying to get him, I don't know. It's working a little bit in our house. It's just that balance between, yeah, they just need a lot of sleep and they do need that. So yeah, which takes priority? Or, you know, can you strike a little bit more of a happy medium between, you know, less snacks and all that? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do a whole episode on that.
No, just snacks.
Okay, good. So we've gone over, what were we going to say? Yeah, and they're, you know, they know exactly where the snacks are, and they know what the, yeah, I can't tell you yet. He'll get down off the high chair, he'll knock on the snack door, snack. You just got to be diligent about not giving in to the request for snacks all the time, and it's hard. So, but yeah, we just got to do better. Snacks are the bane of my existence. I could just not buy them. There you go. But of course, I never do that. So, okay, we've talked about our goals. What are some future episodes that we are going to? So, I think this one's probably going to come out at this point. It's mid December. We are going to be posting this episode probably maybe the first week of January is our goal. Our first goal for 2019 is to get this podcast posted.
If it's before January, yeah. Gold star, right?
If it's early, what?
But around that time.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I think that's a specific, actionable, realistic goal. And then the next episode that we're going to post is all about pregnancy eating. So we're going to kind of give just a rundown of some of the latest research, what women should or shouldn't be eating, and then also what we as dietitians did, if we listened to those tips or not, what kind of cravings we had, what kind of things we hated, and basically which of the goals or which of the recommendations we actually listened to. Hopefully that will be an interesting episode. And then we will most likely follow that with a sort of breast milk versus formula debate between the two of us, and talk about what we did and why we did it. And then I really want to open up our topics to our listeners, because I think our listeners are going to have a lot of ideas for topics. So those are just a couple of the ones that we're probably going to do soon. And then, of course, I think sooner than later, we should do one on picky eating, since we've already talked about it. We're already diving into that because we could probably make that into, you know, 7 episodes. So in our show notes, we will put in some information about the 8 dimensions of wellness, where I got that. All that information that I read off to you. And then I'm also going to post about the What Fresh Hell podcast that I listened to. I wish I could think of the episode that I was listening to the other day when I heard about, I can't even remember, they brought on someone who wrote a book actually about mothers who scream to their children. So I'll have to go back and listen to it and make sure it's the right one that I'm looking at that talks about that. So we'll post that in our show notes. What was that? Yeah, it was good. It was informative for sure. All right, so until then, Happy New Year, everyone.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening for the podcast.